as we prepare our hearts for worship, I want us to hear these words about freedom. And in God's heart, what the gift of freedom really is. From Galatians chapter 5. This is the Message version. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love, because that's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? My counsel is this. Live freely. That means animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For God's word can be summed up in one single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, we come to you this morning with hearts of gratitude. Every day, but especially this time of year, as we prepare as a nation to celebrate the gift of our freedom, a gift that has come to us from the sacrifice of so many over so many years, we are grateful. We are grateful for this place we call home, so mindful that around the globe there are so many places that struggle so much more than we do. Here in this place, we have the freedom to worship just like this, the freedom to take kids to church camp. We have the freedom to sing out to you without fear of persecution. Here in this place, we have freedom to pursue our heart's desires, freedom to know you, and freedom to love our neighbors. Thank you, O God, for our nation. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for leaders from the highest places to even local right here, that they would be filled with your wisdom and your heart. Father, we pray that all of the blessings that you have poured upon us, that they wouldn't be kept to ourselves, but with grateful hearts we would return them and bless others far and wide. Father, we pray for healing in our nation. There is so much division among us. We see it, we feel it. Forgive us for when we partake in it. Lord, help us be healers in this place. And Father, we remember today that true freedom is not found in any empire with any king here on earth. True freedom, O Lord, is found in you, in Christ alone. And thank you, O God, that you have set us free. Free from shame, free from fear, free from guilt, free from sin. You have set us free to know you and to love you and to be your people in this world. You've set us free to live as a people of hope and a people of joy. And Lord, may we always use that freedom, not just to better ourselves, but to bless others, so that together we might all be free. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, recognize those words, in Christ. Ephesians loves in Christ. You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Would you pray with me? And now, Spirit, as we turn to your word, we do so seeking to hear from you, seeking to be formed into the likeness of Christ. And so would you speak clearly to each of us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world that loves walls. Walls, they separate rich nations from poor nations. United States from Mexico, Israel from Palestine. Walls separate rich people from average people. If you've been on a flight recently, you know how it goes. All of us normal folks walk past those first four rows, get to your seat and coach. Eventually, they close that little curtain. May as well be a wall separating first class from all the other classes. Walls that divide the haves and the have-nots. Walls separate ideologies. East Berlin, West Berlin. Walls are constructed to keep bad guys out. The Great Wall of China, a 13,000-mile tool for defense. Walls tell us who's us and who's them. Who's a citizen and who's a stranger. That classic summertime movie, The Sandlot. Remember that one? You've got this group of boys that play baseball together every day in the summer, and they've got this little makeshift field, and their field ends at this great big wall. It's a fence that separates their field from the backyard of the beast. And the beast is this huge, slobbery, snotty, scary dog that has taken captive more errant baseballs over the years than anybody can count. And everyone's terrified of this dog, but just as much as the dog, they are terrified of the man in the house who owns the dog. All the rumors of him are that he is the meanest old man who ever did live. And for years, it seems, there's this wall that separated the boys on the baseball field from the man in the house until finally, one day, through all these crazy events, that wall comes crashing down. And they have to go and knock on the door. And lo and behold, the man answers and turns out he's a really nice guy. A retired baseball player shows him all these cool things. He becomes their friend. Walls, they make a world of strangers, when we might could actually be friends. Walls protect our hearts from getting hurt. You've heard it said, she's got her walls up. We know what that means. She's been hurt one too many times, and she is in protection mode. Walls tell us who our people are. At youth camp here, week after next, there's going to be walls that divide the boys from the girls. Parents are happy for that. There are going to be walls that divide our church from another church. And then when the teenagers go into their little cabin areas to actually pick their rooms of like 6 to 8 people, there's going to be more walls. They're going to determine who belongs where. And the youth, without even speaking a word, will begin to divide up based on their categories of walls, ages, interest, popularity. Walls tell us who's most like us and who's not like us at all. Walls separate towns. There are still so many towns across our nation where you can drive across a certain railroad. And now all of a sudden you're in the white part of town or the black part of town or the Hispanic part of town. 2022, it's still a thing. One of my favorite preachers that I've followed over the years is a man named Fred Craddock. He tells this story about going home each year to his small little town in Tennessee where he grew up around Christmas time. And every time he'd make this visit back to his little hometown, he'd pay a visit to the diner where his old friend Buck owned the joint. And he said one day over coffee and pie, he began to talk to Buck about how things were going. And he said, "You see, in this diner, there was this curtain that stood right about in the middle." And he said the curtain separated where the white people enter the restaurant and where the black people enter the restaurant. And he said, over coffee, Buck said to him, "Fred, I got to get rid of that curtain." And Fred said, "So do it." He said, "If I do it, I'll lose all my customers." Fred said, "So don't." He said, "If I don't, I will lose my soul." You see, walls. They try to tell us that they're keeping us safe with people just like us, but we know better. And we know that more times than not, they're just making us forfeit our very souls. When you go into a community and you see one that has walls all around it, gated communities, we think to ourselves, "Oh, those people have arrived." More walls means more peace, means more control on who you get to share life with. And somehow we think that's better. Oh, sometimes walls are invisible. I mean, there's some in this room right here and right now, and we know it. There's someone in this room, if you're not a first-time guest, there's someone in this room that you intentionally chose not to sit by because they hurt your feelings once, or you know that they voted for so-and-so, or they're just not your people, whatever that means. Walls. They put you there and you there. We could be in the very same room, but on purpose, we're not getting too close. There's this wall between us. I don't know if you know this, but I bet you do. Religious people really like walls. The Pharisees, they were known for putting up fences, walls around God's law. And they went out and they created all these really strict behavioral boundaries that they imposed upon the people to try to ensure that folks acted right so they would be good enough to access the presence of God. What they thought they were doing with all these walls, all these laws, they thought they were protecting the ways of God. They were just trying to make sure that not just anything goes. The temple. The Jewish temple, it had all kinds of walls. And each set of walls got you a little bit closer and a little bit closer to God. But with each layer that you got closer, fewer and fewer people could actually pass through those walls. Those walls, they separated the holy from the profane, the sacred from the secular. God from us. Temple priests, they saw these walls as just protecting. They were protecting the things of God from being contaminated by all the things of this earth. God needs protecting. In religious circles, walls often seem to be used really for that, for this idea that God needs us to protect him from the world. God's stuff, God's ways, they aren't just for anybody, you know. It's funny that the one remaining part of the great temple in Israel today is what? A wall. The Wailing Wall. And we can say, "Oh, those silly Pharisees, oh, those silly Jewish people." But if you ask most of the unchurched world today what they actually think about Christians, you know what they're going to tell you about? Our walls. They're going to say, "Well, I don't think you can be one a Christian, if you drink or smoke or chew or go with those who do, that's what I used to hear growing up, it's a wall. They'll say, I don't think you can be one, a Christian, if you don't vote this one certain way. I don't think you can be one if you've been divorced, or if you're gay, or if you don't speak in tongues, or if you're not demanding prayer in schools, or you name it. I don't think you can be one if you don't behave in this certain way. And they see that we have come up with all sorts of ways that we think that people have to behave to be who we are. You see, the world sees Christians as this religion with a whole bunch of walls. All these behaviors that are required for belonging. All these behaviors required for entry. Lots of people who believe that they have the key to righteousness in hand, and you got to figure out to be just like them to get past all those walls that are keeping you away from the righteousness of God. You see, Christians is thinking that we've got like this corner on where God hangs out. You got to do life just like them if you want to get some access to him. But you see, the crazy thing is, Christians, in that very title, there's Christ. Christ. And when Jesus took on flesh and blood and moved into our world, one of the very biggest things on his agenda was tearing down all the walls that had been built up between us. He was born with a whole bunch of shepherds who got to see him before any king laid eye on him. And with just that, before Jesus could even speak a word, he was saying all those walls that have kept all the poor from ever getting front row seats to the very best show, they're gone. Jesus went out and he touched lepers. And with that, he was saying all those walls that keep sick people over here and tell the well people, well, come on, you're welcome here. Jesus said, get rid of them. All those walls that said, let's not defile God. Jesus said, I'm the contagious one here. And nothing makes me unclean, but I can make everything clean. Tear down those walls. Jesus, he ate dinner with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes and Gentiles. And at every meal, he was saying that all of those walls that said only Jews could hang out with the one true God, he said, we're done with them. Jesus, he let women go everywhere that he went. One of his best friends on earth was Mary of Bethany. And what he was saying with that dear friendship was all of those walls that say men up here and women down here, get in your place, stay in your role, no more. Get rid of those walls. Jesus called together that tight circle of the 12. And you know who was in that mix. Just two of them. There was a zealot. A zealot means that this was a Jewish man who was willing to fight to the death to see Israel restored to their rightful place of honor. And right next to that zealot, there was a tax collector. Someone who conspired with the Romans for his work. This is two clashing ideologies if you ever saw them. These two should be enemies. And Jesus looked at them and said, come and follow me. And as you follow me, learn how to love one another. Tear down those walls that say this way over here and this way over there. You vote this way, go to that church. You vote this way, go to that church. Tear down those walls, he said. Love one another. Tear down those walls. In Ephesians 2, Paul says Jesus came to proclaim his peace to everyone. He says to those who were circumcised, the Jews, and to those who were uncircumcised, that's pretty much all of us and everyone else. Jesus came to tear down the walls of hostility that kept people divided into friend and foe, neighbor and stranger, clean and unclean, righteous and unrighteous, us and them, beloved and unloved. Jesus said, done with that, no more division. He says, we will live in one house with no walls. And Christ alone, cornerstone, we actually have a chance to stand together, to live together in peace. This tearing down of walls, it's seen most powerfully at the crucifixion. When Jesus had done all of his work showing us all these ways to live without all these pesky walls between us, he stood on that cross and he said, "It is finished." And he took his last breath here on earth. And when he did that, Matthew 27:51 says, "The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Have you ever seen fabric that has been torn? Ripped, not cut, but ripped. It's all jagged. It's uneven. There's threads sticking out in every which way. When something is torn, it can never be put back to how it was before. You could patch it, but it's not going to be the same. The curtain was torn. There's no going back. And it was torn from top to bottom, from heaven to earth. As if it was God's doing. You know that temple curtain? It was 60 feet high and 30 feet wide and 4 inches thick. Try to picture that. There's no human that's going to tear that thing in half unless God himself does it. And at Jesus' last breath, God himself did it. That curtain that separated the Holy of Holies in the temple, the one room, that one little place on earth where God hung out, it separated that from everyone else besides this one chosen, most honored priest. One time a year could enter that room. That curtain, it separated the presence of the Holy God from everyone else on earth. Priests could get kind of close to it. Women were another wall away. And Gentiles, still another. And with each set of walls, folks were being kept farther and farther from the presence of God. They were just making sure that God's holiness was undefiled by us. Jesus took his last breath, and that curtain ripped in two, and all of the walls came crashing down. All that divides us into who's worthy and who's not worthy, who's right and who's wrong, who's chosen and who's forgotten, who's privileged and who's left out, they were all gone. Ephesians says, in Christ, we all have equal access to God. In Christ, God has left the building and has found his way to every single one of us. His righteousness is no longer protected by the few. God is free to roam, and he is free to find his home among every human heart as he goes about his way. There's no more walls. There's no more walls. With that curtain gone, there are no longer priests who have the ear of God and lay people who sit back and watch the priests do their thing. Walls are gone. We now all have the ear of God and God of us. And now we all participate in the work of God. Nobody gets to just sit back and watch. We all participate in the work of God. And that work looks as diverse as the millions of people of God who do it. With that curtain gone, there's no longer a division between what's holy and what's profane. But everywhere the living God shows up is holy ground. Just as the kids remembered this morning. And God has left the temple. What that means is that your workplace, believe it or not, is holy ground. Your home is holy ground. Your heart is holy ground. When you stand in the presence of that person who drives you absolutely crazy, you are standing on holy ground. The curtain is gone. And so we, as people who love Jesus, tread lightly in this world, treating every person in every place as if God might be right there. Because he is. There's no more walls. In Christ, all the walls that separate us from God and us from one another, they're demolished. Paul says, "Dear church, this is what's true. Live in the truth." Dear church, quit using so much energy building back every single wall that Jesus gave his whole life to tear down. He sets his righteousness free to fill the earth. Dear church, you don't have to protect it. Dear church, God doesn't need you to keep Jesus safe and sound. God's Spirit is free. And it is on the move, and it is showing up in every heart that lets him in. All we have to do is just let God be by tearing down the walls and just letting his people be. Just let his people be, quirky and different as they are. Unique and annoying as they may be, brilliant and ignorant as we all are, beautiful and mysterious, just let his people be. Tear down the walls and let God be free to do what only God can do, as we let his people be free to be who only his people can be. He never created us to all think just alike and look just alike. Let his people be. God can do his thing. Tear down those walls. Because you see, when we get down to it, walls, we know what they are. They're just a sign of fear. And in Christ, we've got nothing to fear. And walls are just a sign of division. And in Christ, we are made as one. And walls are just a sign of where friends end and strangers begin. But in Christ, it says we are all brothers and sisters. We are kin. Walls protect what is mine, but we know that in Christ, what is mine is laid at his feet, and it is now ours. Tear down those walls. There is no use for them, for those of us who live in Christ. Dear church, tear down those walls. God has left the building. And God has never found a home in a box. And Jesus has knocked down every wall. And so he can find his people just where they are, just as they are. And we join the heart of our Jesus when we just let people be seen, loved, welcomed home as they are. The house of Jesus, it says, has no walls. Just us. Letting people be loved by the living God through us. We are called in his name to live in one house together. Together, celebrating that in Jesus there is room enough for men and women, red and yellow, black and white, conservatives and liberals, Catholics and Protestants and evangelicals, and even those weird mystics, charismatics and contemplatives, fundamentalists and moderates and progressives, rich and poor, introverts and extroverts, white-collar folks and blue-collar folks, felons and do-gooders, prostitutes and virgins, those who did all their Sunday school homework just right, and those who have never learned a single Bible verse in their life, pro-lifers and pro-choicers, evangelists and social justice seekers, those who live in boxes and those who like everything outside the box, those who need some black and white in their life and those who love to dabble with gray, those who want to be told just what to do and they'll do it, and those who march to the beat of their very own drum. There is room for all of them in the house of Jesus where there are no walls to be found. It's true. This is our truth. There's just that cornerstone. Just that cornerstone. And it is Jesus himself making us one. My friends, you're off the hook. He doesn't need you to protect him. Be free of that. He just calls us to love like him. And he doesn't need us to keep his reputation safe and clean. But he calls us to go to the ends of the earth, risking our own necks and dirtying our own hands to bring everyone home to him. Because there is room in his home for us all. So how about we try this? A little less protecting and a little more loving. A little less building new walls and more tearing down old walls. That's what Jesus did on the cross. And that's what we as people get to do with him. All that's required for entry into Jesus' house is just being in Christ, receiving his love and loving him back, trusting Jesus is Lord. That's it. Hard stop. Don't say, yeah, all that and. No ands. That's your wall. Tear it down. That's it. See, I fear that the world looks at the church as just a whole bunch of people who think the exact same way about everything. And if you don't agree with that agenda, then you can't be in that house. The tragic thing is the picture that Ephesians 2 paints of the church couldn't be more different from that at all. It says the beauty of the people of Jesus is that in Christ, a bunch of folks who should have never been friends, a bunch of folks who intentionally avoided each other, actually found a way to come and share life and love and home together because it turned out their love for Jesus trumped everything else. That the world might know that that is who we really are. And that it might start right here in these very walls. How could it be? How about just this? The person in this room who is most unlike you, what if next week you actually sat by him? Invite him to coffee. Get to know them. What if that person that you avoid, what if instead you just choose to actively love them? You see, this is what makes the people of God a totally different kind of people in this world. This is what tells the world you can have a home with Jesus too. You don't have to fit a certain mold. Those walls are gone. Just confess Jesus is Lord and there is room in this house for you because it's his house. And he said so. In Jesus' house, there is no us and them. In Jesus' house, there's no separate room for those who make us uneasy. It's just one big room. And Jesus is in the center of it. And he's saying, welcome home, all y'all. Because he probably's got a good southern twang. Welcome home, all y'all. Because there's no better phrase than that. Welcome home. That BCC might be just a glimpse of heaven come to earth. Where all y'all, folks from every walk of life, diverse as they come to this table. To find their place in Jesus' house. No walls between us. That is our testimony to a world that is wondering, could they be at home with Jesus too? Of course they could. But they've got to see it in us, the people who claim him as Lord. They've got to see that they can be at home with us, his people, to believe in their heart of hearts they could be at home with him, their Savior. My prayer, no walls in my heart, because there are no walls in Jesus' heart. My prayer for us, no walls in this house, because there are no walls in his house. Let it be so, oh Jesus. Let it be so. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we come to your table. Thank you that you say, all y'all, come on. Come and eat with me. I don't care how you voted last election. I don't care what your big issue is that you post on Facebook about. I don't care how unworthy you feel. I don't care how little or how much you know about the Bible. You just say, come. Come and be my children. Come and receive my love. Come and live in my love. Come and share that love. And so it is our joy, O Lord, to come to your table. Receiving your grace so we might share that grace. No walls holding us back. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.